Welcome to the Smart Weight Loss Coaching Podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa Olson, a board-certified weight loss medicine specialist and certified life coach. In this podcast, I'll share fresh insights and effective techniques for incorporating mindset, habit change, and proven science into your life. Are you ready to achieve sustainable weight loss, wellness, and longevity? Then let's jump in and lose weight the smart way. Welcome back. One of my clients, we'll call her Shannon, is an engineer. Her job is intense, both the job itself and managing her place in a company that's not particularly welcoming to women. Here's an email she sent me recently. I find myself feeling like I deserve a glass of wine for making it through the day without losing my cool and going off on someone. Over time, one glass became two, and then it became more like a bottle of wine over the course of every evening as a way to numb my frustration. Every once in a while, I'd skip a day or two just to be sure I could. That made me feel like it was more of a choice than a need. It's become my way of making it through the day and getting up to do it all over again tomorrow. At least red wine is good for the heart, right? We're going to come back to Shannon, her story, and her question about the impact of red wine. But first, let me say that this is an incredibly relatable situation that I've heard from so many people, especially since the pandemic. A lot of folks, myself included, found themselves drinking more alcohol in 2020 and 2021. In fact, the rate of heavy and binge drinking among women skyrocketed in recent years, outpacing the increase in drinking that we've seen among men. Of course, not everyone drinks related to stress, like Shannon described. In my house, I started drinking a glass of wine while doing puzzles with my husband back in 2020 during lockdown. I drank a glass during our extended family Zoom calls, which were so much fun. I drank when sitting out in the garden with my husband in the summertime. It was such a social and happy experience to sit out on a warm summer night, talking, listening to music, and sipping a glass of excellent wine. Wanting to cut back on wine is a concern I hear regularly. People realize that their drinking has increased, they start to worry, and they try to cut back. But it's not always as easy to cut back as you might think. If you're regularly drinking wine, you may have noticed your weight creeping up, your sleep more disrupted, and if you're a woman in midlife, you may be having more hot flashes. According to the CDC, excessive alcohol use led to about 178,000 deaths and 4 million years of potential life lost every year in the United States from 2020 to 2021. Alcohol shortened the lives of those who died by an average of 23 years. Further, excessive drinking was responsible for 1 in 5 deaths among adults aged 20 to 49. 1 in 5. The CDC has a lot of information about drinking patterns on their website. It's worth a look. They state that most people who drink excessively are not alcoholics or alcohol dependent, which aligns with what I see in my practice. It's also kind of what Shannon described in the beginning, right? She's going to work, she's functioning at a high level, but she's drinking at night. We do know that many people these days are binge drinking, which is defined as 4 drinks on an occasion for women and 5 drinks for men. Binge drinking is never good for our health, but even regular light to moderate drinking can impact our health and make weight loss hard. The CDC's definition of heavy drinking is 8 or more drinks per week for women and 15 or more per week for men. It's been humbling to see how long it took me to get back to healthier alcohol habits. I no longer have to use a strategy or coach myself to pass on a glass of wine when we go out to dinner on a random Wednesday night. To be honest, that took a while. A little later in today's episode, I'm going to share 5 of the strategies that I use to cut back, which I lifted directly from my weight loss program. I was always talking about how to pass on cookies on a random Wednesday night, so I started to wonder, why couldn't the same strategies help me pass on wine? And in fact, they did. Of course, there's a difference between wanting to cut back when your alcohol consumption has been creeping up and having a more serious alcohol use disorder. I always advocate talking with your doctor or a therapist to determine the best course of action. There's not one right way to address this. Some people are looking to reduce their alcohol and to regain a sense of control. Others are looking to abstain and join AA for support. Again, there's no right or wrong answer here. If you're concerned, please do talk with your healthcare provider. But today, we're talking about drinking that hasn't progressed to that level. My intention is not to ruin your quarterly ladies' night out for tacos and margaritas. What I am determined to do is ensure that you're no longer mistakenly believing the rhetoric from the beverage industry that claims a glass of red wine daily is good for your health. When I was in medical school, that's what we were taught. But much like the pharmaceutical industry tried to fool doctors into prescribing opioids for pain relief beyond what was appropriate, the beverage industry infiltrated the medical establishment and promoted the idea that red wine is healthy. Some of you are thinking, wait, what? Isn't it a fact that red wine is good for our health? Let's dig into the science to find the truth. Back in the early 90s, the idea that one glass of red wine daily would reduce your risk of heart attack went viral, and the beverage industry capitalized on this finding. But while people who drank a glass of red wine with dinner were found to be less likely to die from heart disease or stroke, the early data wasn't corrected for confounding factors. For example, people who drink red wine may be in a different socioeconomic situation than those who don't. They may have a higher level of education, greater access to medical care, and may be able to afford healthy fresh foods, which impacts health outcomes. Those who are wealthier live longer, and if red wine drinkers are living longer and having fewer cardiovascular events, we have to tease out whether this is directly caused by the wine or if it's simply a reflection of other healthy habits and privileges. It turns out that as early as 2006, researchers started to debunk the myth that red wine is good for us, but the marketing power of the alcohol industry is as legendary as that of the tobacco giants, and so they use their influence to amplify the disproven notion that red wine is good for our health, when in fact it is not. I'll say that again. Wine is not good for our health. Not red wine, not white wine, not beer, or other alcohol. If you currently drink any alcohol, the latest research on this topic says you'd benefit from drinking less. That's true at any age. Reducing or eliminating alcohol exposure is great for your health and probably also great for your weight. It's a shame that the messaging we've heard over the past 30 plus years about the value of red wine has been promoted by the very people who are selling us alcohol. And just like the pharmaceutical industry fooled the medical establishment with opioids, the medical establishment was not immune to the influence of the alcohol industry. We now know that when it comes to cancer, there is no safe amount of alcohol. Even light or moderate drinking increases cancer risk. And even one drink per day can increase your chance of developing heart problems and high blood pressure. If you're feeling disappointed right about now, I'm with you. I'm recording this episode on a Friday night, and I'd like nothing more than to have a glass of wine with my husband once I turn in my podcast and close up my computer for the night. But the habit of having a glass of wine on a Friday night doesn't have to be a habit we keep. I no longer have a glass of wine on a random Tuesday night, so I know I can change the Friday night habit if I choose to do so. And I'll bet my client Shannon can do so as well. You can too. Sometimes people are reluctant to address their alcohol use because they don't see it as a problem. They're high functioning at work, they eat well, they have loving relationships, and so on. But you don't have to lose your job, drink in the mornings, and get a DUI to decide it's time to cut back and rethink your drink. For many of the people I work with, drinking less alcohol is a smart way to reduce those liquid calories that slide down easily and make it hard to lose weight. So if you're looking to lose weight or improve your health, it's time to move from contemplation about cutting back to action. And so as promised, here are 5 strategies to reduce your consumption or take a break from alcohol. As for Shannon, she'll decide whether any of these strategies make sense for her or whether it makes more sense to speak with a doctor or a therapist first. Number 1, you don't have to think of this as an all or none issue. It's not just, I have a problem with alcohol or I don't. I prefer to think of it as more of a general question. Is this serving me when it comes to my weight? Is it serving me when it comes to my health? If you want to live healthier longer, you may decide that you want to reduce or eliminate alcohol, but this doesn't have to happen overnight. You might consider taking a week or a month off to see how you feel. If you're sleeping better, feeling more sharp and focused, then your body is signaling that you might benefit from drinking less. Number 2, choose a label for yourself. I borrowed this directly from my weight loss program, where we use labels all the time to change our mindset. When I started cutting back on wine, I chose this label. I'm someone who only drinks wine on the weekends. This wasn't actually true at the time, and that's okay. It was an aspirational label. I repeated it to myself often whenever I had the thought that I wanted a glass of wine with dinner during the week. I'd coach myself with something like this. I know that sounds good right now, but I'm someone who only drinks on the weekends, so I'm going to pass. As you repeat the label, you'll lean into it, making it more true over time. Number 3, have compassion for the times you get off track. For me, that happened when I'd go out with my friends on a weekday. I reminded myself that when I took a pass on a second drink when we went out for dinner together, that was still a win. It wasn't perfect, but it was definitely better than it would have been before I was working on it. Look for progress, not perfection. And instead of beating yourself up if you drink more than you meant to, give yourself a high five for making the effort. Behaviors that are rewarded are repeated. And one way we can reward ourselves is with compassion and calling out the little improvements we make along the way. Number 4, find a festive substitute. I've played around with this one a bit. There are a myriad of new alcohol-free wines, beers, and cocktails. As more people become sober curious, restaurants and wine shops have started to offer more interesting alternatives. I found that I love a drink with 1/4 fresh-squeezed grapefruit juice and 3/4 plain sparkling water with a twist of lime. That's not something I would normally drink, so on a night when I'm feeling festive and looking for something beyond a regular glass of water, this is delicious. Number 5, remind yourself that you can do hard things. You can sit with the desire for a glass of wine when others are having it. You're not bleeding out. You're not slipping into a coma. You're not dying. You're just uncomfortable right now when everyone else has a drink and you're having water or juice or something else. And that's okay. You've been uncomfortable before and you've survived it. You've probably heard me say, I birthed 2 babies. If I can do that, I can definitely sit with the discomfort of wanting a glass of wine without drinking it. Okay, smarties, it's time for your NBA, your next best action. What's it going to be this week? Maybe right now you just want to raise your awareness of how much you're drinking by tracking it. Maybe you want to talk with your doctor or therapist before making a plan. Or maybe you simply want to start with a label that says, I'm someone who values my health, and I'm rethinking my drink with that in mind. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like more support during your smart weight loss journey, check out our group coaching program at smartweightlosscoaching.com. Until next time, stay well and stay smart.